Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 4. Today is Friday, June 22nd, 2007. Here's Dove. Welcome to episode 4 of Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Today's message is called The Mind, and we're coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. I'm your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos. And please call the comment line at 1-715-381-1709 and share your insights with the listeners. How did the message help you today? That's what we want to know. If you have any insights you'd like to share or you think you may be able to help someone, please call the comment line. Again, that's 1-715-381-1709. And you can email me your questions, comments, or suggestions to janine@pastorpaul.org. And that's janine@pastorpaul.org. Also, you can visit our blog, which we're going to start calling our log. And that's L-O-G. I was reading this week that some of the words that internet users dislike the most, one of them is blog. So we're going to start the switch right now, and we're going to go to log. And I like using the dictionary on occasion. Actually, I use it quite a bit. So I decided to look up log just to see what Webster said. And here it is, our log, a record of performance, events, or day-to-day activity. So I thought that kind of fit in. So from now on, you can go to our log, which is hosted at blogger.com, free of charge. And that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And notice there is no dot after the triple W. If you do a dot, you will go to Pastor Paul, another Pastor Paul, and I think you'll find him listed when you do a search for Pastor Paul's mission. He's under there, under Pastor Paul's musings. So our blog spot is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. Today, by the way, is Friday. I'm getting this podcast ready a little bit late, and I'm running into problems at Blogger. I cannot sign in, therefore I can't do the show notes, and the beat goes on. So we're having a few problems. I had these problems last week and ran into a real late night of it. So I'm wondering if I need to switch and get my own software and put it on our website. And that address to Pastor Paul's website is www.pastorpaul.org. And I created the website a while ago now, and I'm thinking of going to TypePad and trying, or WordPress, and trying to get the software and just do our own blog at Pastor Paul's website, and then I won't have to worry about logging in. I guess the, you know, if anyone has used either one, I would really could use some help. I'm learning everything from scratch. Got all the dummy books, and maybe there's a dummy book for Typepad or WordPress. Anyway, so I've kind of hesitated going that way because Blogger was so easy, but I have been having trouble signing in, and if I can't sign in, I can't do the podcast or the show notes, and this is getting real down here. Anyways, let's get on with it. Pastor Paul's message today, the mind. He recorded this message on December 18th, 1983. It is unbelievable. It is so good. I want you to listen to it from beginning to end and leave your Pepsi Colas alone. This message is just so good. I will put the scriptures at the show notes, on the show notes, if I can get into Blogger. And it is just so good. You're gonna love it, and I want you to tell your friends. The message is for anyone who has a mind. So that's the prerequisite for the listening audience for this message titled The Mind. You must have one. But once you listen to the message, you're going to want to lose yours, believe me. You're going to want to lose your mind. And that's kind of scriptural, you know, lose your life to gain it. And as he says, your life is in your mind. Anyways, without further ado, we'll talk to you after the message. And enjoy Pastor Paul, The Mind.
And that brought about today's message because I'm dealing with people and they have a lot of trouble in their mind. The mind. The computer, the holder of our memory bank, the holder of our thoughts, the holder of our sense, the holder of our consciousness, the mind. The part of the consciousness which thinks and feels and wills as contrasted with the body, but yet that part of the consciousness which thinks but does not feel or will as contracted and contrasted with the soul. A capacity of power, strong or weak, profound or shallow. Sometimes we laugh when we see weak-minded people. And I started to think, what is a weak-minded person? Is it someone that's really strong and doing their own thing and they don't care who gets in their way? Well, that's kind of a weakness in a way. Or the shallow-minded or the profound. See, it's programmed out there and you're looking out there and there's a great illness. It is the snake pit. It is total insanity out there, and I lived in it for a good many years. Now, when you go back out into it again, you kind of look out there and you say, you mean I lived in that? Sometimes we sneak back into it and we get kind of used to it until we really get jarred. But the mind, anyway, programmed by the world and the devil, is his tool. A tool of destruction and a tool of death. And he's working his work down here like he is all over. The mind, some have two minds and are hesitated. When you have two minds, you're a hesitator. You hesitate doing this, you hesitate doing that. You're caught in between the two minds. And some people are always giving people a piece of their mind. Like you'd shovel out a piece of pie. Some are always saying, I have a half a mind to tell others something. I think that's all they do have, period, is a half a mind. Or they say, I had a good mind to say this or that. I started wondering, how can they say that they have a good mind and to do this or that, and whatever that they say then is always comes out bad. You see, I had a bad mind to tell somebody. When they come out, they bad mouth. I had a good mind, but a bad mouth someone. But you're surrounded out there with a lot of minds. And I'll tell you right now, when you're around all these different minds, you can feel vibrations coming off them. You prayed up and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not a mind reader, but you can discern there's things wrong out there. Certainly any man of God would know there's things out there in the Christian world. When we're into all these different things that are going on right now and we're not into praying and seeking the Lord for His will, not to come together necessarily to get to know each other, but to get to know the Lord. Oh, let's get together and have a prayer meeting after church so we can get to know each other better. You don't want to know each other better. That's dangerous. Get to know the Lord better so you can stand each other better. Now, I'm just giving you a little bit of deepness here, but that's the truth. Oh, you can't talk to me that way. I've been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit for years. The mind. You don't agree with me if we, or any of us, myself included, would get up here and our mind was red. Get it on. Say amen. Amen. Which brings us to Romans 12 and 2. Have your mind renewed. That's a challenge, isn't it? Have your mind renewed. And so be transformed in nature, able to make out what the will of God is. Woo! You're never going to know the will of God with your own mind, or your half a mind, or your good mind, or your peace of mind. Listen, your mind cannot be renewed without God's thoughts. I'm just going to change my way of living. I think there was a song like that years ago. Gonna change my way of living. Da, 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 da. Do you remember that? Before your time again, huh? I mean, you have to be brainwashed. A guy told me one time, he says, you know what? I think sometimes you brainwash people. I said, yeah, I do. And they need to be washed. Bible says, let your mind be renewed, let it be washed by the water of the Word. So I said, sir, you're very scriptural. Congratulations. And so it says, be transformed in nature. Well, what is the nature of man's mind? Double. Sometimes triple, quadruple. Bible's kind, it says don't be double-minded, but a lot of people are quadruple-minded. What is the nature of man's mind? Weak, mean, perverted, confused, proud, or happy under certain conditions. I'm talking about our own minds. Isn't that right? When we're in our own mind, we're happy under our conditions. It's like that we have to have the thermostat at a certain temperature. Right? Isn't that right? And it's the same way with our climatic, atmospheric condition, let's call it. If it's just right and sets out so we don't get a chill, then we're happy. But if things aren't 100% correct, that's it. The mind. What is the nature, I said, of the mind? Selfish. Undisciplined in time and mouth.
I'm disciplined in listening. It's usually talking to itself. I'm disciplined in sex habits. I believe it's a merry-go-round of fickle fancy highs and lows, fencing and jockeying, let's say, for position. In short, the nature of a man's mind is lousy. The nature of man's mind is lousy, all right? Why aren't you glad? The Word of God says, have your mind renewed. And so be transformed in nature, able to make out what the will of God is. Because without that, and without God's thoughts, the mind does not want to listen to God. It can't understand it, doesn't want to understand it, can't discern what God is saying, because it is not spiritually discerned. And so the very central thing in the transformation of the mind is the ability to make out what the will of God is. People are always wondering what the will of God is. To lose your mind. Let it be washed by the water of the Word. Renewed. Flushed out. Doesn't it give you a lot of trouble? How many minds in here give them a lot of trouble at times? Well, here's the Word of God. Here's the remedy right here. Have your mind renewed then. And so be transformed in nature, able to make out what the will of God is. Then you won't have that problem anymore. Isn't that wonderful? And even if you're sitting here today in your own miserable mind, see, you live in your mind. You actually live in it. What you're thinking is, then you live in that thinking. That can be pretty miserable, can it? Amen for me. No other ones? Say amen. Come on. Maybe you came in here living in your mind. Get out of it. That thing is so confused and mixed up and weak and mean and proud, selfish and undisciplined. At any time it can tell you, you're thirsty. The devil, you're thirsty. Go get a drink. Huh? Undisciplined. Your mind has you. And your mind is pushing you around, pushing us around. Get mad. Tell him off. Knock him down. Poke him in the face. Is that scriptural? No, that's the mind. Then I told him, oh, I gave him a piece of my mind. You want a piece? No, thanks. I don't need a gut ache. You see, when your mind and God's mind come together, then things in heaven and earth fall together and they fall into their place, you know. And when that happens, life makes sense. Well, I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden I started to wake up to what God wanted, and life started to make sense to me. God has called us to serve. Well, that wouldn't have made sense to me before because I had my old mind. And my old mind was double, and it was weak, and it was confused, and it was only happy under certain conditions, and it was proud and selfish and undisciplined. But when it got regenerated, when it got renewed, hallelujah, I started to understand that what I had to do was give my life, my mind, to God. And I thought, but I can't give up my mind. Nobody likes me anymore. That's what they liked about me, my mind. You see, they were crazy. Because they didn't really know my mind. Say amen. Oh, I just love the way this person thinks. They're this, they're that, they're this, they're that, or so on. Mind outside of God is sick. Period. But anyway, when you come into this revelation and God starts to show you, you'll say, well, no, I understand. And I understood that I had to lose my mind to gain my mind in Christ. The next thing that happened to me was that it was acceptable. I started to accept it. Yeah, that's right. Life started to accept me as good. Then we find out that we're into looking at perfection, and it works. Now my mind was at rest. Said, hey, I've got to lose this thing. So I thought I lost it in about 2 weeks. I thought, well, I lost it. No, man, I've completely transformed. Praise the Lord, I'll never think these ways again. Praise God. So glad to get rid of that old thinking, and now I'm on the road to new thinking. Well, you know what? I said, you know, that sounds good, but what do I do with my subconscious? Can that be transformed? I knew there was a part of me that had to be transformed yet. Especially after that first 2 weeks of heaven. Started sliding back into my old mind. Because all my real thinking and three-fourths of our mental activity transpires down below the depth of our awareness. It hadn't surfaced yet. Something I never really dealt with. And I found out it only comes to the surface when active use arrives. Something has to challenge it to come up. The subconscious. And so I found out if we only straighten out our conscious thinking, then we're only dealing with one quarter of our problem. I had only dealt with one quarter of my problem. Three quarters of it was down below. And so people get saved. And they feel great for a while. And then they try to control their thoughts. That was hell. Trying to control my thoughts. Trying to control my mind. Now, I was dealing with the other three quarters now. Parts of it were coming up. And I ended up a frustrated trier. You know why? Because the subconscious wasn't touched. No, the real you is down there. I'm sure a lot of you young people are going through that kind of a sort of a hell-like, and you... No, see, the real you is right down there, trained by childhood prejudices, trained by society, trained by parents, trained by happenings. It's down inside there yet. You cannot blame it onto anybody. It has been trained. There's hereditary factors. There's curses. There's all kinds of things. But you see, if we don't deal with the subconscious mind, that other part down there, three-fourths of us is unredeemed, unusable, and we turn out to be phony. Pretenders, yes, I'm the great pretender, pretending that I am all right. Spiritual cripple, and that's what we have, a lot of spiritual cripples. Bound, guilty, unhappy, and frustrated, and most of those folks, by trying, become very legalistic. And then they take their legalistic ministry and they'll counsel people to death. Oh, you can't get me on the phone. I am busy. Now, I love to counsel people. I mean, if they need help. But some people will counsel people from the time they first get saved until 20 years later, and they're counseling with the same problem. They haven't told them that their mind is just exactly what I said. And they haven't told them that they have the same problems themselves. They're inherent in every person. And that's where the legalistic teaching comes from. Because people don't want to deal with the real, vile person that's down inside of there. I think we got to start to speak faith and victory to our subconscious mind while we're awake. Cheer up, you're going to get better. Hey, it's all right. Got a few bad thoughts up there? God's going to take care of them. Perversion? Incest? See, if you tell people these things, then they aren't going to fall into all that junk. And so they try to overcome these things by themselves, and they try to control the conscious mind, which they can't do. The subconscious has to control the conscious, but first of all, God's got to have it, and if you don't let God deal with this, he's not going to get this. So we sort of gloss over and cover up. Then when we go to sleep at night, we end up with problems. Call it psychotherapy if you want to. I don't care. Word of God. Now listen. Romans 8:39 says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's what kept me together. When I was going through my deliverance, what kept me together, nor height nor depth, wow. Nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I thought, well, that's for me because I need something that can't separate me. I feel so separated. I feel more lost now than before I got saved. I just feel lost. I mean, I didn't realize I was this grungy. Okay? You listening on the radio, you're on a self-improvement program? Give it up. You can't do it. 2 Corinthians 2:10. "But whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes." Wow. You mean that forgiveness can take care of Satan? Yeah, you just tell him I'm forgiven. Right in the middle of one of his attacks. Well, let's get back into the transformation here of the subconscious mind. I was reading somewhere where only 1/8 of an iceberg is above and 7/8 is hanging down below. And I believe the same is true of the 75% of the human action that's controlled by the unconscious, 25% by the conscious thought. See, it's what we don't see that makes the world go round. Of course, love makes the world go around, doesn't it? You can't see it. And so the conscious mind then accepts Jesus Christ. But then your subconscious mind is under the elemental drives, let's say, of the self, of the sex, and of the herd. Be like two people in a rowboat, you know. Fred conscious and Fred unconscious, both rowing in opposite ways. They end up going around a circle. That's what my Christian walk was. I was going around in a circle. I was trying to control myself. My subconscious was trying to do it. My conscience was trying to do it. I was trying to do the whole thing. It wasn't working. Because both must come under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. A single control, a single end, a single harmony, or life will be frustrated. And there are so many Christians that are frustrated next to... Getting kind of quiet in here. Well, it's the truth. See, we're not warring against flesh and blood. We're warring against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. The devil. Psalm 51, 6 and 7. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whoa. Oh, listen to this chapter. In 6, I forgot here. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. Ooh. Do you know what happens when you get truth in the innermost being? The gungiest things start to chip away and to float to the surface of your conscious mind, and you find out that you are vile beyond belief. Well, you're talking to me. I'm talking to all mankind. All mankind. Every person. Oh, wait a minute. Some people are more viler than others. Hey, when God gets inside of you and he starts to deal with the subconscious down there and you allow him to do it and he fragments that stuff down there and it starts floating up here so you get a good look at it, you want to go get sick someplace. That's what happened to me. And I thought, oh my God, I'd rather die. I can't serve God. I'm too dirty. That's when repentance came more. God gave me the power to repent. But my real repentance came after I was saved. I desired to go on. Now, I could have caught into legalism and just tried to make myself real good and grit my teeth and just go by the conscience what I know. But when God gets in there with the Holy Spirit and starts moving on you, then you have a little more compassion for folk. You're not busy giving them a piece of your mind or half of your mind, or I have a good mind to give them a piece of my mind, a double jeopardy. Oh. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being. Oh, what a dangerous prayer. And in the hidden part, thou wilt make me know wisdom. Where your wisdom comes is in the subconscious that's controlled by the Lord. You know what the beginning of wisdom is? Is when you find out you don't know nothing at all. It says, be careful when you say you know something, know nothing. There's so many walking around with wisdom. The square root of so and so and what? Hey. Oh, if God could touch them and say, here, let me give you something. I have to release you from... And he started showing them themselves. And so I went through that deliverance. A long one, about 9 months. Why? So that I'd never get caught up. So I'd have a ministry that could set people free in their mind. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. And I felt like God broke my bones. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I knew I needed a clean heart. But there's a lot of folks out there that are legalistic, beagle-listic hounds that don't really know about the grace of God because they haven't seen themselves, don't you see? all get exposed. The freedom is worth it. Because sometimes the depths are revealed under pressure. People become frustrated. People become angry. People become lustful. When the conflict between the conscious and the unconscious happens, and the frustration starts to build, then we blow our cover. Yeah! Then we have to gossip, and we have to make our point. Yes, but don't you think? Why, well, never. Huh? And sometimes when you're in the spirit, you can just almost see the devil with strings on people's hands and their arms. How many are hearing this word today? The mind. The mind. Then the frustration, I said, starts to build. And then our conscious cover is blown off. You ever seen someone where their conscious cover is blown off? They've been holding this cover down on their conscious mind, that little part, that 25% that they got control under. Praise the Lord. Yes. Isn't the Lord good? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. It's all acting out. Mm-hmm. Pursy lips and all. Mm-hmm. And someone tests them, and someone gets them, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Yeah! Sorry about that. Somebody just woke up on the radio. Man, that's sitting straight up in bed. Hi, sluggard! Yeah, you got up that time, didn't you? You know what your problem is, sluggard? Your mind. It's lazy. Yeah. Don't worry, he won't turn me off. He's too lazy to roll over. He's been listening to me for 3 or 4 years. Still hasn't gotten up. But I had to give him credit one time. I said, really, you know, it's an art being a sluggard. Because I don't know how they can lay there that long and not get any bed sores. But you see, what's wrong with them folks, too, is that their mind. Some of them are hiding. Some of them are afraid of defeat. And some are afraid of victory. What are you going to do when you get victory? When they put you up there at that great big desk with a bigger file cabinet and a bigger chair. Status quo. Well, don't worry about it. You usually have to do less than you did before. Some of the dumber people at the top. Did you know that? The only thing is they're not fearful. Fearful ones stay down there and do all the work. Do all the brain work, too. Are you hearing this? I mean, the brute force, let's call it the muscle, the 75%, the subconscious, lifts up the cover of the conscious, just opens it up. Because if there's anger down below and it starts to cooking, friends, it'll cook until there's a volcano eruption. Maybe you have to work with somebody you don't like. And you're a professing Christian. You belong to a real legalistic church. We do everything right. And everybody loves to go to Sunday school. I mean, you just, you know. You confess it in your mind. Are you hearing this? Oh, I can't stand to work with that person. But I got to. I got to put on a front. And then that drops down into your subconscious. And then you sleep in it.
What a thing to go to sleep in. You go home with that person at night. You kind of force them out and eat din din. Hi, kids. Hi. So. Huh? Kind of the last thought for you. Oh, you face that dummy in the morning. Huh? So you wrap up in your self-conscious mind and you go to sleep. Somebody's going to have to suffer. Then it runs around in your mind all night. Well, it says don't go to sleep on your anger, don't it? And then let's call it a cocoon, fills up with hate and you're sleeping in it. What a way to go. Whew. And then the next day the person comes up and they're okay. They said, morning there. Peggy Sue, I'm trying to get a name that no one has. Any Peggy Sues in here? And out of a clear blue sky, you say, shut up, I hate you! Don't stand there looking shocked either. You know why, and don't talk to me ever. What she received dropped down into her subconscious mind, into her subconscious mailbox. And the devil delivered it, demon express, right on time, overnight. The subconscious did a readout. It was filed away. It was put down inside there. What's ever put down inside there in that subconscious mind has got to come out sooner or later. I don't care how you try to hold that 25% cover on there, it won't hold. Bible says don't go to sleep on your anger. Did you ever try to sleep on your anger? Man, that is about the most lumpiest mattress that ever was. The pillow ain't too much either. Wake up and you're all tied up in the sheets. Did you ever try to do that? Or some people go to sleep with their lust. They don't give it to God. And they wake up tired because they're having a conflict in their subconscious mind that they haven't given to God yet, and they don't want to look at it. And it was working on them while they slept. You wake up tired. I don't know, I'm so tired lately. Well, you've been working all night long. Psalm 19, 12 through 14. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me from hidden faults. I want an acquittal. Oh, hey. How many here need acquittals? Also, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Well, this guy knows he ain't got a chance trying to do it by himself. And let them not rule over me. Uh-oh. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He's giving God the glory there. I ain't going to do it. You're my rock and you're my redeemer. And my subconscious mind and those deep down things down inside there, search me out, give me a brand new clean heart, oh God, because this one is absolutely hopeless. Wow, that's pretty wild, ain't it? Luke 11 and 39 says, but the Lord said to him, now you Pharisee, clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but the inside of you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? And that's what we have to let God deal with, is the inner person. whether you want to do it or not. Do it. Do it. There'll be injuries in the subconscious if you don't. See, there's injuries from when people were younger, I'm sure. Someone saying, you're no good. You're never going to be any good. You're just like your dad. A scoundrel and a skunk. You even look like your dad. Get out of my face! Now, that doesn't do too much for a person, does it? Huh? Does it? You're ugly! You're skinny! You're too fat! You're dumpy looking! You're a dumpy looking kid! The mind. All these things that were fed into the frontal lobes and into these pieces of bone on the side with the receivers hanging in there, picking up these things. So you have to minister to the very young so that they know they can pick up on the Lord. And it says in the end, the young will lead the old. Yeah, but Mom, God doesn't say that. God didn't call me a no good person, an ugly or a skinny or a dumpy. But they hear it so long, they automatically become defeated before they even start out in their life. And the fears start to take over. And that's what we're dealing with right down here. A fearful people, and not only here, but all over, but more so here. Afraid to sign their name, afraid to stand in the grocery line, afraid of banks. Got to have a drink, got to have a pill before any kind of a pressure. I can't talk right unless I have a drink. I can't walk right unless I have a drink. I can't, huh? I can't function. Afraid of a job interview. Afraid of success, like I said. Afraid of failure and afraid of the dark and afraid of light and afraid of new people. And afraid of being nervous. Well, how do you know all I'm thinking? I'm talking about myself. Do you ever work with someone who's perfect? And you knew that they were going to criticize you before you started? I used to be very sensitive that way, so when they'd get new people in and I would break them in, I thought, well, this guy's brand new, so I would just let him make all the mistakes they wanted to make. But some of the guys that would get him and they would say, oh, you see, this is fine, but you went about it the wrong way. See, some people are not meant to be teachers. They're so busy proving their own worth and talking about their own, their self. What a bore. Because I believe a good teacher will produce teachers, not dependents. See, these people are into what they do. Oh, I'm really into what I do. But out of everything else, unable to sit, excited about self, bored with others. You ever seen somebody that's excited about themselves but bored with others? Oh, hey, hold it. I got something to tell you. They want to talk about themselves. You're on the north side. We haven't got time to talk about ourselves. There's so many people that need to be listened to. I want to hear about your credentials.
PhD.
I won't go through it because I don't even know what I was going to say there. I don't know what they are. Bachelor of Arts? Master of whatever? See what I'm saying? We can get so excited about ourselves in our own little ministry. My goodness. And then this happened and that happened. And we forget all about the folks that are starving to death. And we forget all about the cause of Christ. We forget all about the preaching of the cross. And we forget all about the salvation message. Because we are so wrapped up in our thing. But they never let a prideful person pray for you. Lord, why can't people understand? It's so obvious, God. You know, I caught on right away. Why can't others discern, Lord? Now, I want to tell you something, folks. The Lord isn't even nowhere around that person. He's off someplace. There's a sweet fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to be talking Jesus before it smells any good. You're talking about yourself and your own self-sweat and your own woolen garments. God doesn't even hear it. And Jesus said about the depth, Matthew 23 and 27, you are like tombs whitewashed. Oh. Talking about the depths, talking about the real inside of the Pharisaic person, the real person, down inside there, the three quarters, the 75%. You are like tombs. Whitewashed. They look comely on the outside, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all manner of impurity. Well, what was Jesus describing? The subconscious that wasn't released, that has to be released, of course, by the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, if that's allowed to happen via the Scripture, you'd have people loving each other like never before. And they wouldn't be so balled up. Are you hearing it? We're not allowing God to get down into the depths and to surface all them dead man's bones running all over the place. All down inside that old subconscious, that old trained up, that old evil thing down inside there. My God, it's going to take the Holy Ghost to set people free. There's been so much light preachings and frivolous preaching, it just makes me sick. And people out there, I tell you right now, they are mentals. And I don't care if they're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit until they know, my God, that you're saved by the grace of the Lord and you let that Holy Spirit get down inside. There's people committing suicide because they don't know what's going on. Jesus says you must give your life to gain it. In other words, turn it in or I can't give you nothing. Turn it in, give it up. You got someone backsliding, someone that's sick. You say, hey, you just allow God to take a look down inside. Do you mean to say that people are saved forever and ever? I do! Now, preacher, you listening to me on the radio, you come against that. You take a look down inside of your old self down in there. I don't care if you sat down on your mammy's knee all the time and went to church and sat there down inside. If you allow the Holy Spirit to get down inside and really gravitate down inside and flush all that junk up, you'll find out you're the worst sinner that ever was. Okay, going on with his message. Romans 7. Wow. And 15. For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing that I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. What's wrong? But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which is indwelling me. For I know that no good thing dwells in me, that is my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, I wish to, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I wish to do, I do not, but I practice the very evil that I wish not to do. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then a principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. Whenever you wish to do good, evil is always present. Ooh. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of the mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of death? Thanks be to the Lord God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, praise the Lord, with my flesh the law of sin. What a predicament. Let's go into chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, whoa, in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How do you do that? By allowing God to take a hold, my God, and to have your whole person. And that's why people go along, and then all of a sudden they get real legal, and they get real fearful, and they say, well, I just don't believe. Now, do you mean to tell me that people are really saved? Look what they're doing. They are pointing their fingers at themselves. They don't believe they're saved themselves. They can't believe that God would be so good. Hey, relax, He is. Isn't that good? Woo! Are you hearing this message? How many have suffered with these things? Don't suffer with them no more. Oh, I've been having dirty, filthy, perverted dreams. Let them come up out of the subconscious. Get up in the morning and say, my God, thank you. You flushed it up. I see it and I hand it over to thee. What a mess is down there in the real. I'm sure glad you only give me one quarter to deal with. You're dealing with the real me down inside there. Thank you. Boy, that'd be a horrendous trip. Thank you for coming in and dwelling in me and flushing up all that junk as I will it to be your will. You will God's will to be done in your life. I'll tell you, you're going to find out some things about yourself you don't want to find out about, but that's in your natural thinking. But when you give it to the Spirit, you say, praise the Lord, flush it out. I don't care how perverted it is. God will take it. God, don't try to hide it. Don't get into one of these guilt trips, and don't get down and do penance and walk on your knees to church for a whole week. It won't do no good. God's just revealing you to you. Well, some people are worse than others, aren't they? Nope, they're all the same. Every one of you. Y'all missed the mark. Yeah, even you legal preachers out there. You pious old preachers out there. Huh? Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there. Yep, you too. Sorry. You're a sinner saved by grace. No other way. What's that? I don't believe it. You sinned right there, sir. Because does any man say he be without sin is a liar and there's no truth in him? Whoa. That's dangerous. To not have no truth in you. But when you have truth in you and you get revealed, wow, it's kind of painful, but hey, let it happen. Whoa. Sort of a reversed effort. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say to have repression. Repress thyself. Chain thyself. Chain thyself. Balls and chains. Chain thyself to the wall. Now how can you run the race? Chained to a wall. Huh? Or nowhere does it say suppress your desires. Is that advocated anywhere in the New Testament? Suppress them. There's a girl. Suppress them. I'm suppressing, Lord, but it ain't working. The more you try to suppress them, the more they oppress you. Oh. It is nowhere in the Gospels because repression causes complexes. You see people are that kind of weird? And they can't look at girls and they can't look at boys? And they sneak peeks? They're more obvious than someone that just looks. Huh? Well, that's, I'm talking about the mind. Better give it to God. You don't try to control it, repress it, suppress it, it won't work. Paul in chapter 7, Romans is a baby Christian, but then we've seen in chapter 8 he grew up. Praise God, Jesus Christ has set me free. No condemnation. Boy, am I glad that I was trying to take care of myself in chapter 7. I lived that whole thing several years just trying to change myself and suppress myself, change my desires and everything. I just found out, oh, there's two laws inside me. Fighting, fighting, fighting all the time. I just got tired of, Lord, I'll just lay down for the count. Rocky 2. I watched the ending of that last night. Here's this guy's face all mashed up and messed up. And he said, well, I really want to thank everybody, my trainer, and I want to thank this guy and that guy. And his face was just a, thank you very much. That's the world, isn't it? They beat themselves up trying to be good. They say, I just want to thank my pastor for keeping me Pastor, I want to thank you for, well, I would never made to heaven if it wouldn't been for you. Oh, God. Are you hearing it? It's the truth, ain't it? Been walking around your face all messed up? Well, if it wasn't for my church, I'd never made it. Oh, they come stumbling in. They're all guilty. They're trying to suppress their desires. And they get lust thoughts while they're in church. I'll hold it down. I have these terrible yearning desires. And I'll hold them down. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then pretty soon they bomb out. They're on front page. Don't get so shocked when somebody falls into sin. See what happened to Paul here? And finally, he just said, hey, you're saved by grace. No other way you can make it. You'd be lost every other second. Thank you. I receive. Huh? I wonder when we get to heaven how many people are going to be kept out by a legal preacher. And somehow they found their way in. They were last, but they're at their first. The preacher's standing over here. Excuse me, I'm so-and-so. Excuse me. What's your name? Oh, I'm so-and-so. At the end of the line, please. Way back there. Way back. You can come in, but you're going to have to go way back there. And someone walks up that they thought never was going to make it, but they received the grace of God, and they come in with a great big crown on. Do, do, do. Huh? And they come running in with a diaper on and a little burnt hair on their head. Right? See, because it's all by grace. The mind. Are you hearing this? Repress yourself. Hold yourself back. You know what happens when you do that? You get a sort of a reversed effort. The law of more than equal returns. Sort of like you got a spring on your pants. You can just go so far. You're getting away from skin, getting the sin here, and there's a spring hooked onto the seat of your pants. And you walk away from it. You really don't want to, but you... And the spring is getting tighter on the back of my pants there, and the legs are... I have to stretch a little further to get them to move. And... You ever see a Christian like that? Getting away from sin and by themselves? No, you don't. How many have tried that? It don't work. Don't work. Then we come in. Oh, Pastor Paul, I had such a wonderful time. Wonderful time. Everything is wonderful at home. Oh, and the positive confession people. How are you? I'm blessed. Huh? No, you're not. Are you hearing it? Get delivered. Wore myself out. I'll get renewed. How many see yourself in this? You see yourself in it? Trying and stretching and straining and, oh God, I'll never make it. Thank the preacher. If it wasn't for my church, I wouldn't make it. You try sometime to walk a straight line and really think about it and then have some negative person tell you, well, you thought it was easy to walk a straight line straight, didn't you? Well, it's not easy. You only thought you could walk a straight line perfectly, but see, you can't do it. Now, you really concentrate on that with all that negative thought in there, and you're going to be all over the road. Did you know that? That's the same way with our walk. We concentrate so hard on self-renewal. I come so hard. Will I ever change? No. No, you'll never change. Not without the grace of God. And no confessing to a priest will do it. Will it? It's a routine thing. See, repentance is needed. Say, Lord, I repent. Thank you very much. I receive my forgiveness and I go on in the Lord. Thank you very much. next battle. See, God made the depths, and He can remake the depths. He can give them over, give them over to Him.
But we don't want to look at them real deep things inside. Oh, what will happen if it's revealed?
Now, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a burnout. And things start surfacing. And you really start to look at yourself. See? And you start to see these things down in there. Oh, gee. I have a yearnings to be this, a homosexual. Or I have a yearnings to be this. Or, I have thoughts of this. Or, God. Oh, gee. Oh, yo. And I'm gonna control that thing. Oh, I'm just not going to... I won't ever look at any kind of books anymore. I will never look at any TV anymore. I'll put blinders on. Oh, I'll put, you know, cardboard glasses on with little pinholes in them and just, you know, walk along. I won't see nothing. Huh? Won't work. Sin is going to get the upper hand. You're going to take off them cardboard specs and get a good gawk. Say amen, somebody. See, there's a whole lot of mentals out there that are trying to do these things on their own. And they get all sort of funny, you know what I mean? You need to give your depths to God. You need to know that you can love yourself. Well, you say, what is the Christian answer here in closing? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 says, the Holy Spirit fathoms everything, even the depths of God, even the depths of man. And surrendered them to the Holy Spirit, God reveals your subconscious. And then you know that the only way you can be saved is by the grace of God. And then you know that once God has you, He'll never let you go. And He's going to be working on you until the time that you're raptured out of here. You won't be all looking in the mirror and trying to hide all your complexes that you've created through your own self-denial. Then recognize this is the Holy Spirit. He's going to show you a little bit of yourself all the time. And you'll be able to love everybody. Because the Holy Spirit then, when you allow it, will move in. He'll start to clean house and He will control that house. And you'll start to coordinate your inner life. Woo. And then He'll start to fill you up with His presence. Now, Jesus, then, it says, gives us joy unspeakable and full of plenty. The Spirit of joy. Exquisite joy. Not the lesser joys. Not the absurd. Drinking for joy is absurd, isn't it? Partying for joy is absurd, isn't it? Doing for joy is absurd, isn't it? Especially when you have the Spirit of joy. And now we can take the lid off the subconscious here today and we can say, God, go at it. Just start revealing things. No wonder the early Christians, when they received the Holy Spirit, seemed drunk. They were free from all their fears. That'd make you kind of lightheaded, wouldn't it? All their inner conflicts, all their inhibitions. All their guilt. Wow. Huh? I'm not burdened with myself anymore. I'm burdened with the Lord. The Lord's work. But it's light because He's with you. And then you start to have clothes now. The good store. Why did our good God create the subconscious mind and leave it out of our control. Especially when our driving instincts, I believe, reside there. Because if the subconscious mind had to take on the, and we had to take on the load and the responsibility of being good and doing good, you would be a mental. But God provided, and Jesus says, the good store. That subconscious mind, that part that I'm talking about today that cripples so many Christians, God calls the good store. Matthew 12:35. The good man brings good out of his good store, and the evil man brings evil out of his store of evil. Every good deed, every good thought, every good attitude is dropped into the memory banks of the subconscious mind and becomes part of the good store, which is being built right inside of you right now by listening to the Word of God. When you sleep, out of the good store starts coming good things in. There is a time of passing over. And so God starts to fill you up with good things. And now out of the subconscious comes good things. And when someone comes up, then you go to bed and you say, oh God, just forgive. I forgive that person, and God forgive us. Don't just say them. Say, our Father, forgive us. Plural. Forgive us, Lord. We don't even know what we're doing. Good night. Then the person comes in the next day that you didn't like, hello, Peggy Sue. You don't say, God! Say, hi. Out of the subconscious. You wonder, well, where did that come from? Has that happened to you yet? There's been a change down inside, and you go, hey, I never would have done that before. Where did that come from? Way down deep inside. God's been working, and you didn't even know it. God's working on you today, and you don't even know it. Down in the subconscious, and that subconscious, that spirit I'm talking, now that spirit's going to come up. It's going to be released, and it's going to take over the flesh. The carnal mind, the 25% we try to deal with, it's going to come up and it's going to take over. You see, I don't know where that came from. Well, I never would have acted like this before. I never would have turned down a drink before. I never would have stopped. I never would have done this. I never would have done. Hey, I've changed, huh? And all of a sudden you start to change and you start to give the glory to God. Then you start to become good by habit. You don't argue anymore. You don't feel like giving people knuckle sandwiches. Well, that happened to me and I backslid. Well, it was a part there that wasn't quite done yet. God does a perfect work. You jump the gun. He says, hey, I'm free on it. There's a little bit more in there. Sorry, you had to regress for a second. Okay. And then, no. But there comes a point when you're really free. I don't care what it is. There comes a point, if you'll trust in the Lord, when you really get free of certain things. Wow, isn't that great? I don't believe I'll ever get free. You will. All of a sudden, you won't even be thinking about it. And all of a sudden, it'll happen. Wow. Well, why didn't I tell her off? Why didn't I say get lost? Because you got lost. Start to fill up our good stores with good things. How about putting some good things in people? You can help people get good things in their store. Did you know that? The storehouse? Put some good things in you. You want some good things? Huh? Sure you do. Want some good things? You're a nice kid, aren't you? Huh? You're a good boy. I bet you're smart in school, aren't you? You know what? You're going to get smarter. You know that? Because you're sitting here and you listen so good. Are you sleeping good at night? You're going to sleep better at night. Did you know that? Do you lay awake some nights and can't sleep and kind of toss and turn a little bit? Yeah, you do, don't you? Kind of toss this way and turn that way. Do you kind of worry about things, do you? Oh, you don't have to do that. You know what? You're going to go home tonight and have a real good sleep. I'm going to put that in your store.
put it right over here. You're going to have a good sleep tonight. You're not going to toss and turn. God's going to use you for a real good work. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Put some good things in there. Start putting good things in, folks. Counteract. Don't react, counteract. That's what the north side needs, is some good things put into them. Just like an old rough old cob like me needs some good things put in him. You hearing this? The mind. The mind. That's why we should start to grab a hold of the minds right now, the young people's minds. And I'm talking about little folks. You got little folks in your home? Some people don't even have no mind to listen to what we're saying here today. Oh God, it's so sad. So much to do. Listening on the radio, probably you're sucking on a Pepsi Cola. You only heard about half of it. And fill up the store with the good things today is what I talked about, and we'll become automatically good, and people will come to your good store. Your mother will come to your good store because you'll be full of good things. And people will come to your good store because you're full of good things. And we've got to start filling our people full of good things so that they got good things to give away. Not legalism, not wretchedness, not walking your knees to church, not penance. But we start giving good things out, and we start giving those things. And whatever you give out, you get back, pushed down, packed together, and running over. That's why there's so much misery. We're busy giving out misery. Oh, God. I thought one time, all the food we have, why don't we just ship it all over? Well, we can't do that. We ruin our economy. And you see, we better off to dump it in the ocean because it costs the government so much to send it over there. It doesn't matter. Look at the goodwill that would be happen. Do you think that God would give us back? Now what we're going to do with our crops? We're going to, all right, we'll pay you $50,000 not to plant. There'll come a time, and it's right upon us right now, when people will be told not to plant. And they'll have a bad year, and they'll have pestilence, there'll be no reserve. And so let's practice what? Say that word, good. Can you say it? And let's do what? And let's speak what? And let's hear what? And let's see what? And we'll become what? Isn't that good? Can I read one more scripture? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, that's such a good feeling. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He goes on to say that God is anxiously awaiting. I had a lady that called and she says, you know what? I'm so hard-hearted, I can't come to Christ. I had a young person talk to me the other day. One that talked to me for quite some time, she says, under tremendous condemnation. She's probably about 23 years old, 24. Has a child about 7 years old. Had one that was about 2 years old. And lived with someone, and the someone had been beating this little one for quite some time, unbeknownst to the person. And finally, one day, the baby died. I mean, she was empty. She was totally empty. Was she a Christian? Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, she wasn't a Christian then, was she? Oh, yes. She was an empty one. And so we prayed. We got her full. You think there's people out there like that that need help? It was a problem in her mind. And she walked out free. There is therefore now no condemnation. Know somebody like that? We got a lot of folks down here need to know they're not condemned. A lot of them. Sometimes you look at the job and you say, oh, it's too much. I mean, you try to change the whole world in a day. No, just do your part in a day.
Pastor Paul's message, the mind. Ooh, how about that one? Do we need to lose our minds or what? Speaking of which, I almost lost my mind today. Again, trying to log into Blogger, as I stated earlier. And guess what? I went to another browser. I went to Netscape. I thought, well, maybe just let me just try a new browser. So I went to Netscape. Bingo, I'm in. So it looks like we do have show notes coming up. And my mind is happy again. It was so freaked out. So there you go. I guess I'm going to have to listen to Pastor Paul's message again. But wasn't it good? Wasn't it good? Wasn't it great? How about this? The mind, the computer, the holder of our memory banks, the holder of our thoughts, the holder of our consciousness, a capacity of power. Whew! Capacity of power. Now, think about all of the intellectuals, you know, and all of those people that we just idolize. Like, you know, mine is, I love Albert Einstein. In fact, I have his book right now. I'm reading it. And I wouldn't say he's an idol, but, you know, someone I admire, let's say. But, you know, you think of all of the people out there that are just so intelligent and everything. They have a lot of knowledge, but knowledge without wisdom. Keep in mind that we are all alike. And what makes us all alike? Our humanity. We are all alike, 100% our humanity. So the most intelligent people out there are still human. And if they're not connected with the Lord, they're vulnerable. Think about that when you look up to people that you think are just so intelligent and full of knowledge and everything. But is their mind renewed with wisdom? And if you get a chance, go to Proverbs 8:22-31. And it's about the eternity of wisdom, God's wisdom. And if you knew nothing, but you had God's wisdom, what more is there? Okay. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up. Just a reminder, go to the Pastor Paul blog. I'm happy again with Blogspot. So now I'm not going to go buy any new software. My learning curve is at its tilt. Blogger and I are back together. I'm so happy, but I'm still changing it to log, our log, because I don't want to be flamed by anybody at this point. I'm too new in the game. Wait until I get out there a bit. Anyways, good to have you back again. I am hoping, I haven't been promoting the website because I'm trying to find my own here. Trying some different things. Basically, the main thing here is Pastor Paul's messages, and they are good. So I'm going to start promoting them, I think, on number 5 coming up next week. So right now it's a private promo. You're the private. Send them out. Tell your friends. This one's a good one. This one. They've all been good, haven't they? Friends, part 1. Friends, part 2. Unsurrendered self. Now the mind. Where are we going, folks? We are moving up and out. So, where are my notes? Anyways, I've got Skype. I don't know how to use it yet. That won't be too long. We'll figure that one out too. But get a hold of us at the blog, www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and the website, www.pastorpaul.org. You can call us at the comment line, which is my line, and some funny man will answer and just talk right through it. That is us. And we'll record your message, and I'll try to get it on the air. And then that number is 1-715-381-1709. And what else am I forgetting? Oh, my email, and that is janine@pastorpaul.org, janine@pastorpaul.org. Until next Friday, I will wish you, bless you, hope you have the best week ever. And get out in the garden. Go take a walk, you know? Get away from your computer. I mean, you know, listen to our podcast, but, you know, spend some time outside, you know? I mean, nature misses you. So until next week, goodbye.
So if you tell a tale.